home a little later mid-season. But listen, we'll be there before you know it, guys. It'll be Southern University, McNeese, right there in Lake Charles, Louisiana. The Jaguar Nation, as we know, travels from all over. We love road games, don't we? Especially if they in state. We break everybody attendance records. I think we own every attendance record pretty much in the state of Louisiana at somebody else's stadium. McNeese, Northwestern State, Louisiana Tech. You look at ULM. I'm pretty sure we was close to knocking on the door of an attendance record over at LSU. Tulane. Well, hey, I'm pretty sure whatever the attendance is going to be at McNeese this year is going to be just as high then the way that it is now, that we've seen it in the past. So we're going to get ready for that. I know you guys are going to be excited. You're getting excited. You want to know about what's going on with some Southern University football, and I hope you guys are ready. It's the first year Terrence Graves. He's on the clock. He's on the clock. Eric Dooley is in the past. Terrence Graves is in the future. He's on the clock. Got an all-star cast of guys of Southern greats and SWAC greats. Southern picked fourth in the SWAC Western Division. It's going to be interesting. Quarterback position, the carousel that we've seen there. And can this team come together? That's going to be the biggest question. We're going to have Jim Klein Peter talk to us about that. So, well, we have on time, Mike. Do we need to get ready to go ahead and take this break? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys have enjoyed the first hour. Listen, good morning to everybody that's listening to us up in Alexandria. I hope you guys are having a good morning. Good morning to everybody listening to us anywhere in the world. I know we have our capital city listeners here live on the radio on 107.3, but there are a ton of people that go back and listen to us on our Facebook Live, thousands of people, as well as on our YouTube channel. And for you guys out there, if you missed or want to know any part of this episode or any other episode, listen, go subscribe to the Jaguar Journal YouTube channel. It's free. Don't need your Social Security number. Don't need your credit card, debit card. Don't need a credit check. We just need your support and love. Hit that subscribe button. Become a subscriber, and you can go back and watch any portion of any shows that we've done, and as well as follow us on the Jaguar Journal Facebook page. You can just go hit the follow button on that. We just want your support as we continue to grow, as we continue to put the word out there. And guess what? It's football season, so you're going to want to hear somebody, and you're going to want to talk to somebody after a win or a loss. And guess what? Perry White, I'm your guy. You can call in and talk to me and tell me anything about how you feel. I am your Jaguar Southern University psychologist. When you have an issue, you call in, you talk to Dr. Perry White. Dr. Perry White has listening ears, and I give you the platform to be able to speak and voice your opinion, all right? So let's get ready to take a break. Mike telling me let's do it. We can come back on the other side. We'll be at the top of the hour, so you guys stay tuned. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Southern was a little late to the game of football. They had started earlier in the CIAA up at Hampton and those schools up there. And when Dr. Clark became, J.S. Clark became president of Southern University in 1914, he had already visited Tuskegee and these Howard and the other schools, and they had a football program. And he wanted to compete with them, not just in the classroom, but also on the football field. So it started as an intramural. We had intramurals when we first came in 1914 through 1916-17. And then the intramural program evolved into the varsity, into the football program we know in 1918. Coach Big Charlie Holmes from Colorado State, he came here as an assistant coach, but he took over around 1922, 1923, and he did very well through the early 20s, but he came up to 26. He broke even, he was expected to do well, and 27. I don't find any records where he won any games there, and he was replaced. But the person he was replaced by was a legendary. Name is Bryce Union Taylor from University of Southern California. Out there, he had been an All-American. He was a guy that stopped the four horsemen of Notre Dame, and then he went to Chaplin University in South Carolina in 27. In 1928, he became the head football coach at Southern University and athletic director, and he really put Southern on the map. He had a lot of firsts. First of all, he had the first All-Americans we had came under him. Therefore, he had the greatest winning percentage in Southern University. He won 85% of his game here, and he had our first undefeated season in 1931. when he was 7-0, and well, he was not declared national champ, but he was considered for that. But he was our first great coach during that early period, Bryce Union Taylor. We don't want to forget him. Arnett W. Mumford, he's a national icon in coaching. He had coached 10 years in Texas, Jarvis Christians, Bishop, and Texas College. But the last 5 or 6 years at Texas College, he was very, very outstanding. He won 2 SWAC titles, and he had won a national black championship at Texas College and 35. So therefore, Sullivan was interested in getting him here, and Dr. Felton Clark was very instrumental in the person to get him here. But his impact it goes much further than Southern University and State of Louisiana. He won 12 SWAC titles, 10 of them at Southern and 2 at Texas College. And he won 5 or 6 national black championships. And also, he was very successful in the first interracial bowl game, the Fruit Bowl in San Francisco in 1948 when he played San Francisco State. And he won that game decisively. But his influence extended much further than the boundaries of Southern University. He was recognized nationally as a great coach. His winning record, he didn't coach over a period of 35 years, but in a couple of those years, they didn't have teams because of the war. But he won 246 games, second only to Eddie Robinson with his 402 game over 55 years, I should add. And Southern always had loyal supporters, and they would follow the team everywhere. They would go in large number. So Southern became the team that everyone loves to beat. Loves every Saturday. It's the toughest game we have every Saturday. So if they don't win another game, they figure if they win the Southern game, they had a good season. And because we carry a large crowd with us everywhere we go too, so a lot of people like that. And we like to brag about how good we are. And of course, that hips up. But it is a vista to the university, using the football athletics period to use that way to introduce the university to people who may not have known the university. Went through a period of 30 years, I believe it was, after Mom, until we got Coach Peach Richardson in 1982-83, and then he returned us to the glory years. Rivalry with Grambling has always been there because it's an intrastate rivalry. And we played Grambling a few times before 1948, but after then, we didn't play them anymore until we became a member of SWAC in 1959. But fam, you feel that void with Jake Gaither and A.W. Mumford. Those were some of the greatest games that you ever would see. And they became our main rivalry after 1948. But the exposure that the biggest thing that we can say about the rivalry is that the Bayou Classic, becoming the Bayou Classic in 1974, was the biggest thing for any of the HBCUs. First of all, you know, we played in Tulane Stadium in 1974, the first game, because the Superdome was not complete, and we had over 76,000 fans and a national television audience. And we never look back from that. So it's great exposure for the university, not just for football, but for the university period. On a big game day, Avenue Hill, we have over 100,000 people on the campus. And for homecoming, they're everywhere, all of them down in Scotlandville, railroad tracks. And we'll have over 100,000 fans here tailgating, just having a good time. And hopefully that we get most of them to come into the game. But we do have a packed house. We can get 29,000 to 30,000 people in our stadium, and that's what we have every homecoming and other big games that we have. Getting a degree is more than just studying. It's an interrelationship that you get and the good experiences and things that you have, and that forum of athletics affords you that opportunity to do that. So we need both, but you know, you should keep them in perspective now. Remember, you don't put athletics above academics, but they work together. If you don't know where you come, you don't know where you're going. And the other thing that a quote I have that, until a lion writes his own story, the story of the hunt will always glorify the hunter. And by that, you need to tell your own story. Don't let nobody else tell your story, because they're not going to tell it like it ought to be and like it should be. But it's important that you write your own history so you can tell that story.
Kelly's Sitting Services is an in-home, non-medical care provider agency serving Central Louisiana. Kelly's provides VA services and waiver services such as Children's Choice, Community Choice, EPSDT PCS, LT PCS, NOW SIL, and private duty services. Kelly's is seeking attendants who have a love for people and who want to assist others to remain in the community for as long as possible. Kelly's can be reached at 318-793-8453 for your in-home care needs.
Kelly's down the field passes that I've seen.
Skelton going for it all, has a man, and hauling it in.
All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there. Hope you guys are having a great morning. Everybody here in the capital city area around Baton Rouge, all our affiliates up in Alexandria, and everywhere else in the state and around the world that are tuned in and listen to us, whether you listen to us live or you watch it on the playback. And when I see the numbers, I typically see a lot more people watching us on the playback. And guess what? We love to have you as supporters. Getting close to the football season and everything else. And so if you want to keep up with Southern HBCUs, politics, whatever the case may be, this is your place. This is your home right here with me, Perry White, on the Jaguar Journal, 107.3 FM here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Good morning to everybody on our YouTube channel watching us live anywhere in the world and as well as on our Facebook. Good to have you guys with us this morning. And as we keep things rocking and rolling here at the top of the hour, got a Southern University alum right here. He's the son of Baton Rouge, Ted James. Good morning.
Good morning, Perry. Look, man, I grew up listening to the Jaguar Journal, so it's good to be here, brother.
Good to have you on here, yes, man. Sir. 20-plus years of the Jaguar Journal rocking and rolling and bringing information to the community. And it often get misconstrued that we're so caught up in the sports, but as you know, Southern folks love their Southern football. They love their sports, so I have to bring that, but in the midst of that sports, I also mix in other things because I'm big about informing the community, communicating what's going on in the world around us, and then also voicing if it's something that I see within the community that I feel should be a change or should there's an issue. I have no problem coming on here doing it, and I don't be caring who care about it because at the end of the day, I'm a citizen just like many others. At what point should the citizen have to be quiet? Shut up when there's an issue or problem within their community or something that's affecting their livelihood. And that's one of the reasons having you on this morning, talking about Baton Rouge and what your vision is and what you see for the city of Baton Rouge. But first, let's talk about your connection to Southern University with this being the Jaguar Journal.
You know, I'll tell you, my connection started in the fall of 1974 when my parents met.
Mm-hmm.
My parents met in that long registration line. And, you know, we all
like,
know.
What's your name?
That's right.
Well,
my dad was behind the blue gate. And what he told me is the gate was blue back in the 70s, too. Uh-huh. And long story short, my mom came and he was like, look, you got a boyfriend? My mom said, no. My dad said, we got one now.
Oh,
so that's
snap.
My Southern University story started with my dad shooting his shot back then. And then, of course, you know, I enrolled and served in the Student Government Association and pledged Kappa there and then went on to law school at Southern. And I've taught at Southern, both undergrad and law school, and would not be in this race but for Southern.
Was you a poli sci major?
No, I was accounting major.
Ah,
yeah, accounting major.
I thought major. It was like, man, I thought
no, college, COB, College of Business, TTLA all day. But yeah, and honestly, that I knew that I was never going to be an accountant after the first
first year or so in it. Mm-hmm. And Miss Darby, Lord rest her soul, that's my girl. Miss Darby was one of the first people to really challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, I had her class on Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1:00. So you know how